Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
From the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the Jack and Spike Show.
Welcome to the Jack and Spike Show. The Belltown Hellcat guy, person. How do we speak about this young man?
Oh, I like that. What, ne'er-do-wells?
Ne'er-do-well.
I call him the Hellcat might be a nice little moniker for him.
Well, he's got to have a bad moniker.
Oh, okay.
We have to shame him. It's like an annoying moth.
Young and dumb in Belltown.
He has run into a lot of problems because he can't actually drive his Hellcat anymore. But more importantly, this Seattle score that I'm reading, 4.24 out of 10 in quality of life poll. What a downer of a news day. Am I right or am I right? We're looking at a reported shooting at a Ramadan event in Philadelphia. That looks just like a complete and total travesty and a disaster. And then on the other screen, I'm looking at prominent Arizona Republicans flipping on abortion restrictions. What a downer. I mean, why would anybody ever want to pay attention to the news? Do you know what I mean?
If only there was a show that thought about solutions instead of wrapping their fist up and pointing a finger. You know?
That'd be sure, good. Yeah.
Right. Maybe we could work toward that, looking at issues and saying, how do we come together as siloed sections of society?
I don't think we're that siloed, to be honest with you. I think that most Americans pretty much agree on 70-80% of what goes on in the country. But I
hope you're right.
Well, I know that I'm right about it, but my point is that why would anybody want to pay attention to the news when all it is like bleak and dark and bad? Do you know what I mean? Like, when you look at the United States, like it makes people angry, right? When they look at their country now, when people talk about the economy or they talk about culture or whatever it is, it just makes people mad. And when I look into that, I wonder if there's a deeper kind of philosophic underpinning, you know, that kind of outlines all this, which makes people kind of perpetually irritable and irritated to the point where when you live in Seattle and you're contacted by this polling group and they say, how do you feel about your quality of life in Seattle? The average, the median out of 700 people is 4.24. That's pretty bad. But is it realistic? Meaning that did this, the EMC group who contacted 700 people, which is a fairly small amount of people to contact for a poll regarding quality of life.
It is.
Did they take into account that person's emotional state at the time when they were actually giving them the poll, right?
Could they have just watched the evening news and been spun into oblivion of blues?
Exactly. Did the Whole Foods not have quinoa? I mean, did they miss
their bus? Who could
have
a good day then? Seriously. Oh, Trader Joe. Oh!
Right, but I think that a lot of the frustration that people have is because we take in so much negative news, whether it's that UW football player who's charged with felony rape.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like the news industry has changed in such a way because it's become alert. It's become you have to pay attention to this because this is life or death. Danger is over here. Danger is over there. Hey, by the way, buy Colgate because you don't want your breath to smell bad. Danger, death, destruction. Hey, if you got COPD, hey, we got the drug for you, my friend. Danger, death, destruction. You ever think about life insurance? I mean, has anybody ever pointed out the fact that what you have basically on these networks is danger, death, and destruction, and then running ads for depression and benzodiazepines and life insurance and
gold and silver.
Gold and
invest
silver.
Now. Hey, can't trust that dollar now. Anymore. Yeah.
Like the media machine is objectively disgusting, but we need it at the same time. Like, we need to know that there was a shooting at this Ramadan event in Philadelphia, and we need to know that there's this very restrictive abortion law going on in Arizona because, we're in a country, right? These are the kind of things affect us. But I still am very cautious about the amount of negativity that I am willing to inject into people's lives. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Because if I wanted to, I could just come on the show and we could just read bad news all day long. We talk about that 4-year-old who was killed by his mom.
Horrific.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Horrific.
And we could do this thing where I come on the show and I get really mad about it and I say, these Democrat policies, mm-hmm. and I can feel really self-righteous about it. But what am I actually changing other than making people's day significantly worse? It's a very tricky place to be in, I think, as a broadcaster and as a public person, when you're faced with just outright chaos and outright destruction and suffering. How do you recontextualize that for people so they don't walk away from the 5 minutes or the 10 minutes or the 15 minutes that they listen thinking, geez, I wish I hadn't heard that?
Well, I think you're right, but it boils down to who are you responsible to as a media person, as a newscaster, right?
Me.
Are you responsible to the audience that you're serving and the well-being of the community that you're informing?
Yeah.
Or are you in service to the advertisers that work for your boss, or, you know, your boss is dictating where you take the flavor and the tenor of the news?
Yeah.
So, I mean, when we went to for-profit news, that was the off-ramp from sanity and liking each other.
I don't know, Spike. You work for for-profit news, my friend.
I know we are, but we have a choice. We have a choice what we bring and how we bring it.
Yeah, I mean, so when I look at this, to speak about choices, Como News does this poll. They go to EMC Research, which is a local public opinion research firm, and they asked 700 Seattle voters across each district from March 5th to about the 14th about their opinions regarding the city and its leadership. 4.24 out of 10 for quality of life, with 10 being very positive. So most people have a fairly negative view of Seattle. But when I look at this, this kind of headline from Como News should be embarrassing, because it's you're telling me that you paid this research firm to go out and interview 700 people. And that's the number that they came up with.
Right.
And then you run that headline to reinforce a narrative that the place that people live is miserable, right? Take these people and put them in, I don't know, Jakarta.
Put
them somewhere where they can't go to Whole Foods and get some sweet quinoa, and then have them say, oh, my quality of life is so low. Like, Americans are so unbelievably spoiled that it's not even funny, to the point where you are in a city, which, yes, it has its problems. Yes, it has its issues. Like every other major metropolitan area. Hold on, let me check my watch. Oh, in the world has. And yet you are so entitled that you feel as if your quality of life is a 4.24 out of 10. You know who has a quality of life that is at that 4.24 out of 10? People who are going through cancer treatment.
Yep.
Not people who can ambulate on two legs and walk around. I saw a group of people, running club, running around East Lake last night.
Oh, wonderful,
night.
Yeah.
Must have been 40, 50 people having the time of their lives, right? I mean, they're just running down the street, whistling Dixie, talking to each other, giggling. Mm-hmm. Is that a city that has a 4.24 out of 10 quality of life? I see moms pushing babies in strollers around East Lake. I see people helping old people out of cars and Ubers and whatnot. And what we have is a bunch of people who are so entitled that they are not grateful for the fact that they live in, one, a very beautiful city, but two, by every account, a city that's doing very well for itself. You might run into some naysayers who are going to talk about fentanyl or homelessness or whatever it is, mm-hmm. but that's because they love that misery. They love that suffering because it justifies their worldview, and they refuse to let it go, right?
Is there anything, too, if you don't identify a problem, we're not going to focus on fixing it? I mean, I'm trying to look at this from a positive perspective as well, right? This organization does this metric. You know, how do you measure quality of life? You know, air quality, safety in the city, affordable
access
places to live.
Access to food, maybe.
To your point, that's what you also be asking. Can you get a doctor when you need one? Can you get good food when you need it? Could the cops come when you call? Does the fire department come when you call? I mean, you're right. It's about perspective. You know, I've had the opportunity to travel the world to see the most impoverished place on the face of the earth.
Yeah.
And we have such a skewed and poison perspective on life, on the quality of our life.
Right. And don't get me wrong, I'll complain about homeless people all day long, but I'm not going to say that affects my quote unquote quality of life. It affects their quality of life. Do you know how selfish that is to look at somebody else's suffering and say that affects my quality of life? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, but the people who are asking these questions are like the chamber, right? The Seattle Metro Chamber, which is the largest business collective in Seattle,
mm-hmm.
right? That's kind of who got behind this. Their job is to make sure that the city of Seattle, which is like the economic engine of the state of Washington, has a place where businesses can thrive. So homelessness does affect their quality of life. It affects their ability to do business.
Mm-hmm.
It's questions worth asking. I'm with you. But to paint it as just a hellscape.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, it doesn't do us any good.
That's what I'm saying. Is that it does not do anything other than people will take that metric and they will run with it and they will use it to generate content for the media machine that does not inherently care about the people who it affects, right?
Correct.
So I'll give you another example of sociopathy here. The Belltown Hellcat driver was barred from operating his Dodge Charger. Laura, you told me that this young man decided to post an Instagram video where he was not driving his Hellcat, or was he?
He was. A week ago.
A week ago, you say? Mm-hmm. All right, can we hear what he had to say, Miles Hudson?
I hope I bleeped this appropriately.
Okay.
What's going on today? A driver posting his speeding video directly is driving.
No!
I'm done driving.
FPD, don't with us!
Oh, that poor unfortunate soul. How do we help him?
So sad. Indeed.
So he views himself as a character, right? He views himself as like a kind of a cartoon-like character.
He does really like anime. That's a feature of his page.
Oh, he likes anime? That's so sweet. So he got pulled over on March 30th in the Soto neighborhood after officers heard him rev the engine. People have been talking about him on the Seattle subreddit for a very long time. I have seen him a number of times driving down Eastlake.
You experienced the intrusion in your quality of life,
right? Not so much. I mean, he woke me up a couple of times, but does that affect my overall quality of life? Not really.
Yes.
Not really.
When you come in cranky, it affects our quality
of life. Right, that's right, it does.
Okay. I'm feeling very 4.2 today, Jack.
When I come in not sleepy, I come in mad, and everyone else suffers. Everyone else suffers when I don't sleep. Enjoy this suffering. It's good for you. So what do you do with this, right? Like, I was thinking about this a lot in terms of why do we see so many young men going into the kind of criminal element or anti-system element, right? Mm-hmm. Kind of this I do what I want kind of criminal element. And my thought about it was that if your future is so bleak and everything is so kind of joyless in society, you then have to start making or manifesting things that are stimulating. And I think that's why he's created this narrative of it's me against the system and I'm getting all this media attention, when in reality what I hear is a very broken 20-year-old young man who probably has a bad mom, bad dad. I would put good money on the fact that this kid's got maybe one parent out of the picture.
Wasn't there,
because this is parentless behavior. This is what somebody does when they don't have a guiding principle.
Kid's got, 700,000 followers on social media?
Yeah, he does.
This is the most promising business opportunity for this young man, right, is having this Hellcat making these videos, running through the streets.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you kind of can't blame a guy for pursuing what options are available to him. It's a fast, easy way. It's not 4 years of college, right? I mean, seriously, and how much money can you generate with 700,000 followers? It paid for the car, right? But to the other side of the coin is you can't monetize breaking the law and affecting the city in a negative way. I mean, when he was pulled over and wasn't driving, he was revving the engine in that video.
Yeah.
That's the illegality, is the breaking of the noise ordinances at 3 a.m. You can't monetize that. I mean, we'll put up a stand and sell Molotov cocktails. It's good business. It's bad for the city. Right? So I'm glad the kid lost his ability to put that thing on the street.
Yeah, it's too bad for him, and I wish nothing but the best.
I wish a wonderful bus schedule in his future.
I wish for him that he gets into some nice therapy so he can talk about why he feels the need to engage in this kind of behavior, right? Because it's very childish, and my wish for him is that he can find some kind of maturity in this. A video shows at least 11 people burglarizing a Seattle pot shop during cash and grab. Laura, what's going on here? Why is today's show so negative? Why is it such a downer? I blame you for this.
That's fair.
This is your fault.
Where's that drop? We have one. Blame the producer.
She's just holding up a mirror to the city, man.
Surveillance.
Story is bizarre. Why do you need 11 people? Like,
it's a lot of weed.
Ocean's 11? Get in, get out.
It's a lot of weed.
It's quality, quantity.
Okay,
so located at 2413 East Union Street around 3:20 a.m. on Tuesday, the video shows a group of at least 11 suspects dressed in dark clothing running into the store and grabbing everything that they can. This is not crimes of poverty, right? This is just people taking advantage of a system. again, why do people do this kind of stuff? Because we have a mental health care crisis in this country. It's interesting, you know, a lot of people try to shy away from this kind of activity and they try to moralize it. And they just say that this is a character deficit. But when I see this, I just see mental illness. There is not a world in which I steal from somebody, right? There's not a world in which I say to myself actively, I wish to take from somebody else for my own personal gain. So when I look at this, I think that we analyze it in the wrong way, where we say, well, it's Democrat policies or whatever it is. You can't legislate out mental health care. You can't, right? Like, you can't legislate away mental illness. Doesn't work.
No, what we did was we legislated out mental health care.
Yeah.
We cut the funding for mental health care.
Right. We cut it all. And I did a little bit of a kind of a cursory search into mental health resources across the United States. It's like the United States is somewhere under by about 150,000 licensed medical health care providers total for the entirety of the country, understaffed and under-resourced. And so then people wonder why I have a hard time when this, you know, policy gets cut or this funding mechanism gets cut locally, where some of that money was going to go to LMFTs. The problem is not so much that government wastes money, because it does in some ways, but it puts it in the wrong places. Mm. And what you really need right now is basically an army of therapists and psychologists to descend on King County in general.
I'm with you.
And be accessible to people so that they can actually talk about the motivating factors which push them towards engaging in this kind of behavior. I know people don't like that take. I think it'd be a lot easier if I said, more bars, more prisons, get them out of the streets. I think that'd be easier radio to do. It's much harder, I think, to analyze it from the perspective of we basically have a bunch of adult children running around in dark clothing stealing weed, and that's an entirely different problem than jail cells and bars and whatever it is.
Well, they say part of the problem with when it's kids, it's always kids, is because they know they're not going to go to jail.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have these are multiple, oftentimes multiple offenders mm-hmm. who've been caught and released because of their age or their whatever it may be. So yeah, I feel for the businesses in charge. And you can't, with this particular store, couldn't put up the barricades in front of their store, because we talked about putting the big Jack and Spike concrete blocks
in
front of pot stores. You can't do it here because it's a city sidewalk, right? They don't have roll down steel doors at night. I mean, do we have to build a fortress on every store and every business in the city?
We'll take a really quick break. When we get back, police fire 96 shots in 41 seconds, killing a black man during a traffic stop. But a lot of people, like every major media outlet, is burying the lead in this story, and I don't understand why. Like, this is a weird conspiracy. Like, why wouldn't you say, like, everybody's talking about this all over the internet.
It is.
Every media company's picked up on this story, and they're trying to make it George Floyd 2. But if you actually read or watch the video, it's not. So this is, I think we need to talk about this more in depth when it talks to media. So we're talking about media malfeasance. We'll talk about that when we get back right after this.
Planning to go to more than one Mariners game this season? Consider a Mariners Flex membership. You can choose your games and seats as you go all season long. Plus, save at least 10% on tickets and pay no fees. Come on board today at mariners.com/flex.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
The internet can be a dark and often dangerous place. Only one man has the courage to go where no sensible person would go. Jack Stein is terminally online.
Terminally online. Wasting my life on the internet so you don't have to. There's a story that became a national story because police body cam footage was released of a shooting that occurred in Chicago, where now you see how the media folds in on this story and people are very frustrated about it. And right. I see why people are frustrated about it. You want to break it down for us, Spike? You know all the details of this?
Yeah, a young man in Chicago left his home in a car with tinted windows.
Mm-hmm. Heavily tinted.
And was stopped for not wearing his seatbelt. That's the initial report of why he was initially pulled over by the officers. Mm-hmm. This is a traffic stop in Chicago. Upon pulling over, the officers tell the gentleman to exit his vehicle and not roll up his window. Meanwhile, multiple unmarked cars surround this guy's vehicle. Mm-hmm. For a traffic stop, for no seatbelt? At that point, the officers tell him to exit the vehicle. When he comes out of the vehicle, you can see officers retreating and shots are fired.
Yeah.
96 shots from the officers responding to this, with reports that the suspect, Mr. Reed, was the first to shoot, but that's kind of what we know now. Now let's talk about the media response.
Well, the media response is gross because the way that this has been framed, I've read a couple different versions of this. For instance, Spike, like, did you read anywhere that he was wearing a black ski mask?
I did not.
Did you read anywhere that he shouldn't have been in possession of a gun because he was awaiting charges in Cook County?
That's not in the story I read.
Right. Are you familiar with any of his other criminal history?
Nope.
So, are you aware of the tint that is allowed in Illinois?
That I am allowed. That I am aware of. Yeah, okay, because yeah. I mean, and that's a safety issue for the whole law enforcement community. Yeah.
So you have a kid. He's 26. He's not supposed to have a gun. He's driving around with over tinted windows. He's not wearing a seatbelt. The cops are going in the opposite direction. They see he's not wearing a seatbelt, and for some reason, he's wearing a ski mask as he's driving. So when people talk about pulled over for driving while black or whatever. Not really, not in this case.
I imagine any ethnicity wearing a ski mask in a car with illegally tinted windows is going to get the attention of the police department.
Maybe one or two. I mean, I've seen the heat a couple of times, and guys in ski masks tend to be up to no good. So this is what gets me. It says, and this is from USA Today, they say, body cam footage shows one officer emptying his pistol multiple times on Reed. It's unclear if the 26-year-old's hands are raised. That's not journalism. That is gross distortion, right?
Right. Agreed.
What's a better way to phrase that?
I don't know. How do you say multiple times you emptied your...
No, I'm talking about unclear if the 26-year-old hands are raised, right? Because if you watch the body cam footage, he fires off a round, and then the other cops go in and they unload on the guy. And then when they go back up into it, they see the gun is still in the car. Like, this is why I understand why a lot of conservatives or right wingers are very distrustful of the media, because the amount of information that is shed from these kinds of stories to fit a particular narrative is very, very gross, right? The fact that he wasn't supposed to have a gun in the first place, right?
Yeah.
And look, this is the way this is phrased. It is unclear why Reed was carrying a gun. He was awaiting trial in a gun case, according to Cook County court records. It's unclear why he was carrying a gun.
That's quite the narrative.
Would he have a gun?
Unclear if his hands were raised at the time of the shooting.
This is what I'm saying is that, and I understand that, you know, there's this call for these officers to be stripped of their, stripped of their police powers. I don't know if let's just say I'm advocating for police, which I do on a regular basis. But then all of a sudden I say, if somebody pulls a gun on you as a police officer, you got to assess.
Yeah, I'm with you.
And if they pop off a round, you really should slow down a little bit and see what their real intention is, right?
Yep. But help me figure out, because as I'm with you on the representation of the story in the media and how we're getting half the story to paint a narrative.
Yeah.
And I'm with you on the officers being fired at with the right to defend themselves and protect public safety.
Right.
How do I justify 96 shots? How do I find...
Sure. I mean, that's really simple. Like, movies have lied to us by telling us that cops are all crack shots and they're all RoboCop with the repeater, right? The Auto 9. And the fact of the matter is that you are trained as a police officer. I know this because my uncle is a narc. He works in narcotics in a state that I won't mention.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
So when you get shot at, you redline, right? Your adrenaline goes off, and then you are trained to just keep firing at the thing.
To empty the gun?
Every time. Every time. Yeah, it's kind of like the scene from Young Guns. Remember when the guy, the bounty hunter, comes to kill all the guys?
And you click, 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 because you've emptied their ammo.
Right. The point is that you're supposed to completely immobilize that person. You shoot to kill, right? There is none of this shooting in the knees. There's none of that garbage that they show in movies. So the number sounds high, 96 rounds.
It sounds
ridiculous. How many cops were there?
I don't know.
Six.
Not in the story.
Six. Okay, so if it's six cops, and what's 96 divided by six?
16.
The cops in Chicago, I'm sure most of those guys carry, 18 round or 15 round 9mm.
I'm still having a hard time saying, when do you stop shooting?
When the person stops moving. That's a training issue. That's not a cop issue. Do you know what I mean? Like, the number sounds high. Do you know how many times the Fort Hood shooter was shot?
I don't.
It's 110.
Okay, wow.
Do you see what I'm saying?
When you
go into these kinds of things and you say,
you leave with a crying mom, and he was, my boy is, he left the house today. I mean, you paint that narrative into the story.
Right, right. I mean, this is the thing, is that we ask these men and women to put their lives on the line for us every single day, and then we're going to quibble over the amount of bullets that they use to defend their lives. I mean, I'm not trying to be terse or crass about that young man, but he probably should have not, I don't know, had a gun in his car when he was pulled over and then brandished that weapon towards police officers, right? That would be my assumption, because all this, maybe he would have even listened to that, I don't know, the Cook County courts who said, don't have a gun in your possession.
Right.
He'd still be alive to this day. For whatever reason, he decided to ignore that, and then fate is a cruel mistress, and unfortunately, that's the result of this.
A series of bad decisions left to what we're looking at in the news, and another bad decision by the way the media is covering this gives us an unreal representation of what happened.
It's unfair to the officers, but it's also unfair to the young man, right?
And it's unfair to the community that can't have trust in their police department.
Exactly, exactly. So it's like when we think about these things, it's important to think about them, especially when media portrays it in this way. I think we need to be much more critical of the way that they cover these stories.
Yeah.
The fact that when I saw the CNN talking about it and they didn't mention the ski mask,
I had no idea.
I was like, okay, guys, I guess we can just leave out that detail. Sure, yeah, people just walk around in ski masks all the time.
And not like that doesn't taint an officer's perception
exactly.
of the situation.
And sure, like when an officer asks you to step out of the vehicle and not roll down your windows, and then you roll up your heavily tinted windows.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a way to talk about this, and there's a way to distort it. And unfortunately, all of our media contemporaries are doing a terrible job. We'll take a really quick break when we get back. Apples need to be named. Is that what we're talking about, Laura? You insisted. Or no? Are we going nuts? Or is it the environment? I'm going nuts.
Too hot to think.
See, I'm full of rage right now. We'll talk about that when we get back right after this.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter, and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is nature making us crazy? Is it the environment? There's a PNW, was it physicist, environmentalist? What do they say?
He's a researcher. I'm not sure exactly what his discipline is.
He's a data scientist. Okay. He's got a master's degree from the University of Oxford in both neuroscience and public policy. He's a Rhodes Scholar and a Reynolds Journalism Institute fellow.
Wow.
And he says, climate change encompasses everything unfolding in our world today, is what he says. Very strong language, but let's shift our perspective. Rather than fixating solely on climate change, consider it part of a broader environmental transformation. It's not just about melting ice caps. It's about the intricate dance between human influence and our planet's health. We're surrounded by these changes, and they're shaping us biologically. Very interesting. Is weather making us all go insane? I would say yes, indeed, weather is making us all go insane, mostly because the way that people talk about climate change is the way, if you want to scare people, if you want to terrify people, right, that's how you talk about climate change, right?
You ring the warning bell, you send up the red flares.
It's not
right?
even that. Spike, no? Like, because what the problem with the climate science models is that, and I say this as someone who's like a hippy dippy, save all the trees, let's think about the butterflies. You know okay. what I mean? Like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
I say this as someone who was opposed to the Trump wall because I'm very concerned about the migration patterns of monarch butterflies.
Cool.
Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
So, but at the same time, the climate models that are given to us by a lot of these environmental groups that are very concerned about climate change, they are compounding environmental models, mm-hmm. meaning they just get exponentially worse year over year, if that makes sense, over a decade. That's not the way that climate works. So they are flawed from the very beginning.
Really?
So if we look at geologic time, Earth goes through warming periods and cooling periods and warming periods and cooling periods. And it has for the entirety of its 3.4 billion or billion year existence.
Right.
So then when you come in and you say, well, these markers that are outside of the mean are indicative of an overall increase in temperature, whatever it might be, is actually a bad way to analyze a system. Does that make sense?
It does, but isn't the changing factor in this equation that there are more people doing more things? So all the cycles the Earth has been through, we've never had a cycle like this. There's more people on the bus.
You say that we've never had a cycle like this. That's partially true. I mean, the Earth was much, 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 much hotter.
Oh, no, I agree. And there are reasons that it's been billions and billions of years. I get you.
Right. So,
we move down.
So when we think about our relationship to the sun, when we think, you know, our distance from the sun, not only does it change, you know, year round, but it also changes in cosmic time. Do you know what I mean? Like
there are periods of our existence where we're closer by.
We do not have like a fixed orbit around. I didn't know that. Right. And it's also not a perfect circle, right? It's more like a weird oblong shape. So there are other conditions as well that can contribute to this. And I think that one part of it is, yes, it's garbage and it's methane and it's the, you know, all the third world countries that are raping and pillaging the land.
Right.
But when you look at the impact that we have in terms of climate, I think that people should be much more concerned about runoff from farms or from roadways into the ocean, garbage that goes into the ocean, gigantic what do you call them the fans that we put out in the middle
windmills?
Of the ocean,
wind turbines
in the Atlantic Ocean that are causing beaches to, or whales to beach themselves. These are things that we should be concerned about, and these are things that we can actively change. You can't so much point to a temperature being different from it was the way that it was 5 years ago and then say, we're all going to die, because that is not the way that we analyze data or interpret data.
Okay, so I hear you. And to this piece by this brilliant man that Colleen O'Brien spoke with, he's saying that the constant barrage of different factors, mostly fear-based, is kind of rewiring how we feel. So it's the climate coverage more so than climate change.
And I'll say even this. I'll say I don't think most people care about climate change when it gets down to it. How many people still use single-use plastics? Literally the most toxic thing you can possibly use. How many people?
Far too many. I'm with you. Yeah.
I use glass in my house. I don't have a piece of plastic in my house. So when people do this thing, they're like, oh, the economy is so bad, and then they're packing snackables for their six-year-old.
Right.
When people say, oh, the climate is so awful, and meanwhile they're going to, oh, I got to get another serving of Nutella. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, if you really cared about climate, you would do what these groups do where they go out and they pick up garbage or whatever it is.
Oh, yeah.
They walk around and they clean up rivers. Things like that have much more of an impact than just kind of sitting around and whining about it. Moreover, when people say, you know, we'll look at Al Gore and look at all the work that he did with his climate models, if we used Al Gore's climate models from 2004, we would all be burning to death now.
Oh, Al
so he was totally wrong about that. And it's just frustrating to me that we can't talk about it in a much more solution-oriented way, using glass instead of plastics, things like that. Would have a tremendous impact on our environment.
Well, I think every little bit may help. You know, if you get one person listening to you today to stop with the plastic, the one single-use plastic bottles, and go out and get some glass containers. Go out and get, I have noticed even your leftover containers are glass.
They are
not
glass.
Not plastic in your house.
There's no, I don't know the plastic.
The truly unpleasant Mrs. O'Neill and the book club.
Attempted to steal my Tupperware. We're
getting it back to you, I promise. No, they're all going to the shore next weekend for a massive beach cleanup. To
your point that's about sweet.
Taking the little steps individually.
Yeah. We will take a really quick break when we get back. Trump posted a bizarre solar eclipse ad, but it was actually the RNC that did it. And I have no idea why they did it, because it's so bad. It is literally the worst ad I think I've ever seen from a politician. Appeals judge has decided to deny Trump's request to delay the start of hush money trial so he can challenge the gag order. Bad times for Donald Trump.
Bad times.
But good news is that, for Donald Trump, is that more voters shift to Republican Party, closing a gap with Democrats. But is that necessarily true? Because this is Pew Research data. But is it necessarily accurate? We'll talk about multivariate analysis when we get back right after this.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.